It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective playback as the Pirates lose tonight. Very sad, 27-17. Kyle from the Grange Barber, what's up, man?
Very sad. Yeah, okay. I cried all the way home. It was what it was, man. I feel pretty good about things. We got some things to improve on, but it wasn't all bad.
A very quiet Bubba Rosenbaum. How are you, man?
I'm good. That's what anybody that heard the fifth quarter, Captain Bill, now he may be in Greenville crying because apparently to him it was one of the most embarrassing things, or the most embarrassing thing he's ever witnessed. So that says all that needs to be said. That's ridiculous.
Well, Shapiro, you know what? Go ahead. Introduce Brennan, then I'll say something.
Brennan, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Captain Bill, you know, we'll comment on him just for a minute. And I think Captain Bill got what he wanted on the fifth quarter, and he's getting here. What he wants is attention. He's like a little baby, like a toddler crying and screaming who wants attention. But you got to take what he says with a grain of salt. This is the moron that said, Lincoln Riley sucks.
Yeah, so, I heard the beginning of your call, Kyle, but that's what I had to – that I heard the beginning of your call, but I didn't hear the rest of it.
Oh, well, that's a shame, brother.
Actually, it was paused because you guys called.
Gotcha. Well, you know, it's anyway, Captain Bills, you're listening to the fifth quarter calling show. He's an idiot. But everybody else, man, besides him, everybody else seems to be relatively positive, as they should be. I mean, look, we got work to do. But overall, you look at our last three or four performances against these guys, and they've destroyed us. Had Scotty Montgomery and that staff been here, we'd have lost the game 42-10.
Yes.
As it was, we lost 27-17. And I think that the biggest thing, I think our biggest problem on offense is we want to be a run-first offense. That's what Kirkpatrick and Houston want to do. And we just don't have the personnel to do it. The offensive line, you guys, think about how bad our running game's been. Going all the way back to 2015, we haven't had a running game. And now all of a sudden, Houston wants to come here and be a offense that's predicated on running the football. And he's trying to build that with an offensive line that just isn't that talented. And, you know, our best running back is still out. Holt Naylor's just isn't that experienced at quarterback. And we got receivers that, you know, don't always make plays when they need to. But we're getting better week by week, man. We're building it.
Yeah, and let me ask you guys this. I'm pretty sure I brought this up before at some point. But do you think that we need to – I mean, do you think we're better off for the future for Mike Houston to just go ahead – and try to establish that run-first offense? Or do you think he kind of needs to throw a little bit of gimmick in there and try to just, you know, get some wins?
Well, I think he's trying to do both a little bit, Brennan. I think we've seen a little bit more of that the last 2 weeks of him opening things up. So I think he's pretty much established he's going to try to get his offense going. At this point, yeah, you stick with what you're doing. There are some winnable games out there if we keep developing. I mean, South Florida, to me, you know, we got a couple. I wish we didn't play UCF in a couple weeks. That's going to be a tough game, obviously. It goes without saying. But I think if we keep developing what we're doing, develop our passing game more. I think right now we still need to be more reliant on the pass than the run. But we got to keep trying to establish a run. Hopefully Penix will come back and then it'll be, you know, we'll have a full stable of backs to play with.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is, to me, that I see on offense, and Bubba, I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but to me, sometimes we're too predictable on first and second down. We wait until third down, it seems like, to throw most of the time, and our third down completion ratio is extremely low. We don't complete a lot of third downs, and I think we need to I think we need to mix it up more. Maybe throw more on first down on some of these third down plays where it looks like a passing down. Maybe let Holton pull it down and run it.
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying there as far as the some of the first and second down calls at times. I did like the way we came out early, and then we talked about throwing some screen passes. We did that early on that first drive, put a nice drive together between the screens and short passing game. And a lot of folks around me were talking about how it reminded them of the first drive against NC State, the way we took the underneath stuff that they were giving us and went right down the field. Nice pull that time by Holton. He had a nice run, and then heck of a catch on the touchdown by CJ.
You know as well as I do, Bubba, that lots of times the first drive is scripted.
No, it wasn't a surprise to see us do what we did and then do very little after that. We did have an opportunity shortly thereafter to make it 10-0, and then unfortunately Jake missed his first time inside 40 since 2017, and then we also dropped a pick six. It wasn't the easiest of plays, but that's the play that had made it 14-0. So,
yeah, you know, if you make that field goal there or get it in the end zone and you get the pick six, and all of a sudden, my God, that place would have been going crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck, Temple, coming back from that. I mean, that would have been interesting to see. You know, there's a lot of ifs and buts, but that's going to happen at some point. We're going to make those plays. And let's just say all of a sudden we jumped up 17-0 or 21-0 on Temple. You know, now they got to change what they want to do instead of being able to run the ball on the part they were able to all night and push around our D-line. They would have had to pass it, and it would have been interesting to see how things played out, but it is what it is.
Yeah, defensively, I thought the guys did everything they could to keep us in it. That's what Temple got a spark there early after and being unable to move the ball effectively with Russo. They brought in the backup, and he hurt us some. I'm trying to remember. I drew a blank on his last name. But he did a nice job, and he certainly created some problems for us. But then we adjusted, and they continued to go back and forth. But just such a balanced attack, what they threw for about 245 and ran for 245 at one point.
Yeah.
I don't know what the final number ended up being.
Actually, I think they should have ran it more.
Yeah.
They were pushing around the
237,
right side.
I think.
They were pushing around the right side of our D-line at times. And if I was them, particularly in the red zone, like when we got the interception that was taken back from the sack for the fumble recovery, I would have been running it down there the whole time. But I thought our defense, considering how much they pushed around our D-line physically, I thought our defense did as well as they could. I was watching the game, and my buddy James, you guys know him, Southern Miss fan, texted me and said, "Your defense sucks." I'm like, man, no, they don't.
No.
Like, they're just being out there
on the field the whole time.
Yeah,
they were being on the field.
At one point, they had run like 30 more plays than us.
Exactly, and we were tired, and they're just so much more talented than us. But I thought our defense. You know, I love Coach Houston after the game. He not the press conference, but his interview with Marty Fuhrer. He was mad. He liked the way we competed. He said, but he has no patience for apathy.
Yep.
And he said at times in the third quarter and towards the end of the second quarter, he saw some guys not giving 100% and hanging their heads when things didn't go their way. And he said he hasn't got time for that. And he said, for us to win games like this, we have to give 100% every single play and play harder than the other team. And he's right. If you're less talented than the other team, you've got to go take it from them.
Yeah.
You've got to give 100% and play your ass off every single play. Not 90% of the plays, not 95%, 100% of the plays. You've got to out-effort that other team if you want to pull off an upset against a team that's more talented than you.
I think there's two storylines, guys, that are going on, too. And Kyle, I'll give you credit for the we've got to find a way for the upperclassmen to get off the Montgomery stank, as you call it, letting them do whatever they want to do, all that kind of stuff, and apathy, playing half-ass, if you want to say that. And then also, so you have that going on. And then the bright spot, the other storyline for me is the fact that you've got young guys that just don't have the experience and they have a lot of talent. The only way they're going to get experience is to let them play.
Yeah, we're going to be good in the future, man. Yeah. We got so many young players that are playing. I don't know how the rest of this season is going to play out, but if it plays out how I think it's going to play out, we'll carry a little momentum in the next year. I wouldn't be surprised next year if it's like an 8-4 type year. But we got to finish this year first. And, just looking ahead, as I said earlier, I think in a few weeks, you know, it's going to be weird, two straight Saturdays off. Obviously, we played tonight, so we ain't going to play Saturday. Then next Saturday's an off week.
Yep.
And then we got to go at UCF, and I wish we didn't play that one, but maybe we can go down there and be competitive. But when we come home, and what is it, the 26th of October or whatever it is?
Yes, it is.
To me, that game is
huge.
As important of a game as we've had in a long time. Not so much important in terms of the program. I mean, we can lose that game, and Houston's still going to go on and do good things. But for this year,
right,
if we want to get to 6-6 this year and have a .500 record, we got to win that South Florida game. And if we're going to win multiple games in the conference, which is something I really want to do, that's one we need to get. If we can win that one, you still got UConn, you still got Tulsa, that appear to be winnable ball games. So if you can get South Florida, a game that it'll feel, even though South Florida's not very good this year, you know, I think they're probably talent wise just as good as us, maybe even a little more talented. They just aren't playing up to their ability. If we beat South Florida, it'll feel like we've accomplished something. You know, that win at Old Dominion last week, it felt like we accomplished something a little bit because it was on the road, but it was still ODU. If you can beat the Bulls, if you can beat South Florida and Greenville in a couple weeks, that'll really feel like we took a huge step. What do you guys think?
I agree, Kyle. That's a program that's had our number down through the years. We've only beat them once, and that was in 2014, it was like 28-17 down there, and we trailed that ball game at halftime. So the way they've had our number, that would be sweet to beat USF.
Yeah, it would. And, I don't want to jump ahead too much. We got UCF first, but I think we all know how that one's going to play out. And, I jokingly said the other day we're going to pull that one off, but do I really think we will? No. But
no matter
what happens against UCF, I hope we don't lose any confidence. I do think, even tonight, I still think we have some confidence. And I just hope we don't go to Orlando and lose what confidence we have. We need to come in believing we can take care of business against the South Florida Bulls in a few weeks.
Yep. And then we also have the I don't think you win the UCF or Cincinnati game. So you have basically, and then SMU is better this year.
Yeah, and that's in Dallas. I mean, you know, you can always pull off an upset, but
yeah,
the winnable ones are the ones that you think you can win are obvious. You know, here's what I want. This is what I want, guys. It will make me real happy. You beat South Florida in Greenville. You find a way to beat UConn on the road, and then that last game of the year in Greenville,
the Tulsa game.
You're playing Tulsa, and I do think Tulsa's is a much improved football team. They got a good defense and are certainly capable of beating us. And I think they may be playing for 6-6 around that time too. We'll see. But if you could just, Brennan, I mean, are you going to be there Thanksgiving weekend if we're playing for 6 wins against Tulsa?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll be there.
Tell your mommy you're just going to have to eat your turkey and gravy.
Yeah, I know. send some back.
There you go.
My sister.
That's right. So, and that's a long way between now and then, but, you know, that's just what I have in my head. I want that. Just find a way to beat South Florida. Find a way to beat UConn. And I'm not surrendering defeat in any of the rest of these games, but I'm just saying,
yeah,
being realistic, if we're 5-6, playing Tulsa for a chance to be 6-6, I'll be ecstatic.
Yeah, and maybe we have outside a chance to still make a bowl at 6-6.
Right, yeah, depending on what happens. Yeah, you know, if obviously 6-6, we would go to a bowl if it weren't for two FCS opponents. But
thank you,
having
Jesse.
Having two FCS opponents, it is what it is. But there is an outside shot. You can get a waiver, but it probably won't get passed. But if there's not enough 6-6 bowl teams, then we would get precedent over a 5-7 team. So,
right. Yeah. You never know. And hey, that's a good problem to have. We would take, after what we've been through, we would take 6-6. If you said right now, would you sign on the dotted line for 6-6? Wouldn't all of us on the podcast take 6-6?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm just happy that if we sit here and they're going into the off week or 3-3, and we can look ahead and coming off this game with Temple and see hope and not feel like, well, there's no chance to go to a bowl or there's no chance to win six games or whatever. So, see what we can do these next couple of weeks and then go to Orlando and let the chips fall where they may and come home and try to get a big one against the Bulls. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say, what I'm excited about is I know we had the lull in the third quarter like Coach used to talk about, but what I'm excited about is the fact you looked at the scoreboard. I don't know if you guys did. It's 24-10. If that's Montgomery, then you go, oh, boy, here we go. And then you attack on a few more touchdowns. And I know, Kyle, you alluded to that earlier. And for me, what I'm excited about, the defense was on the field so much. 27 points is all we gave up. Considering how long the defense was on the field, man. And then what's concerning for me, again, I go back to the only 10 points for the offense. That's what, if you'd have told me we were only, I'm sorry, 17, rather, that's certainly. But it seemed like we were on 10 forever. And I know we were talking about the first half, you know, the pick six that you don't get and the Jake Purdy field goal, that's 10 points right there.
And don't forget, PJ Johnson would have been.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It would have been we would have been down in the red zone, but he fumbled the ball after the catch, and thankfully there was a penalty, so we retained possession. But you know, we would have should have probably got points on that drive.
That's right. So not that I'm the guy that close to no cigar, and you know, should have, could have, would have. We just didn't. But the good news is, having said all that, there are bright spots where you can see. I think that's the thing, the frustration for Pirate Nation, I know it was for me, is that there was absolutely, when we started this podcast, there was no hope. Last year, Montgomery, with last year, there was no hope. I mean, even right. The media, everybody was just down. Yeah, the media that's, you know, ho-hum, you know, let's go out there and record stuff or whatever and go home. And now even the media, you see people that I know they have to be neutral and all that mess, but you see people a lot happier, and people, competing members of the media now, were joking with each other, having a good time, where before it was just kind of like I hate to say it, but it was kind of, sounds morbid, but it was like a funeral under Montgomery last year. So that makes me feel good knowing that we have the program headed in the right direction. It may not be as fast as we want it because we live in a Pop-Tart society. Everything has to be a quick turnaround, a quick fix, microwave everything. But I am excited that game was very competitive and we had a shot to win, where last year, in the last few years after the second quarter, you knew we had no hope.
You're talking about when it was 24-10. I was thinking about the play there in the fourth quarter when we had fourth and a half a yard or a yard, and that wasn't too far. Were you a little surprised, Kyle, that we didn't go for that? And I think, what do we have it on our own, 45 maybe?
Yep.
I was. I understand why he didn't.
Right.
The way they were running the ball, if we didn't pick it up, then that's pretty much the ball game. His thoughts were, it's a 14-point game. We can punt it, go stop them, get the ball back, score. And you know, you want to extend the ball game, basically. You want to keep the ball game going as long as you can. You want to stay in it. You don't want to put yourself out of it. And I think by nature, Houston's a conservative coach.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, historically, that's not what we're used to, except with Skip. Skip was conservative.
Right.
So, you know, I was surprised. Yeah, I thought he would go for it. So my thought was to go for it, but I understand why he didn't. And if we do pick it up there, what difference does it make? Who's to say we're going to end up scoring just because we pick up the first down?
Do you want to go to the press conference now with Coach Mike Houston?
Yeah, I'm sure he probably explains that in the press conference.
All right, let's go now to the podium, Coach Mike Houston. Let's go to his thoughts and comments right now.
Congratulations to a very good Temple ball club, very well coached, very talented. Did exactly what we thought they'd do. Played a very good ball game. We had our shots. Loved the way we started the ball game, the way we were competing. Stadium was electric. I mean, it was everything that I came to East Carolina for. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, right there at the end of the first quarter, you know, just, you know, what a special place this can be. Thought we had a lull there in the third quarter where the game, you know, got away from us a little bit. I thought we fought back in the fourth quarter and just, you know, too little too late there, especially with the way that they were able to move the football and run the football and control the clock. So 3-3, we go into the bye. It's not where we want to be, but, I think we've all seen improvement in our young men week in and week out. And I think they're continuing to grow, and they're continuing to change habits, and they're continuing to learn how to fight. And as long as we'll continue doing that, we'll continue to compete throughout the year, and we'll look up at the end of the year and have a lot of positive things from it, and hopefully we can achieve our goals.
Coach, the third quarter specifically, they dominated pretty much every offensive category. Is that a factor of depth and halftime adjustments? What do you point to for that third quarter?
I think that from my feeling on the sideline, it's we've got to learn how to bow our back and compete when the momentum's dead against us. And that's it. You know, learning how to overcome adversity is not easy. And it's something that, you know, I think that there are some really bad habits here that we're breaking. And one of those is, you know, hanging our head and feeling sorry for ourselves. And that they ain't going to do that. And I freaking ripped their rear end. And I'm going to find 11 that'll fight. And but I thought they responded. And that's the good thing. They respond. I mean, they really did. I mean, I got on pretty hard there, and they did respond. And I told them in there, I get frustrated when I know that they're better. I know that they're capable of more. We had our shots. We knew what kind of game we were going to have to play. And we did so many good things. But, you know, we have got to compete every single snap. And I did not care for the way that, you know, when we got behind there in the third quarter, I did not care for the way we conducted ourselves.
Was it encouraging to see the running game early, the way it was?
Yeah.
The first drive?
Yes. I mean, the running game, you know, some of the things we're doing in the passing game, we look like what we want to look like. And I think that shows some of the things we're capable of. I mean, we were not consistent after the first quarter offensively. And, it's no, one person's fault. We've got to continue to, we've got to continue to prove. We've got to continue to do a better job coaching. And I'll just tell you, we got to continue to do a better job coaching. We've got to continue to develop our offensive personnel.
It was a clean game in terms of no turnovers, 10 yards, and penalties. Is that something that you have really just reinforced?
Certainly it's been a big harping point, we talked about, and it was – when we talked yesterday afternoon, we kind of laid out, this is how we're going to win the ball game. And those are two of the big things, winning the turnover battle and not doing anything to derail ourselves, to give them anything. And so, the thing we didn't do is we weren't able to shut down the run game, 237 yards rushing. We said we wanted to turn it into a one-dimensional game. We weren't able to do that.
Coach, we've seen your team start strong a number of games so far this season and then quiet down a little bit through the middle quarters. Why is that?
Well, I think that fatigue gets you. I mean, certainly the depth is a little bit of an issue. I think that when you start playing, some of these teams have the size they have across the fronts on both sides, that they wear us down a little bit. And that's, we got to continue. We're starting to get to where we can play more people. We're starting to have more guys come along. And the way we can counter that is to try to continue to develop more depth. Especially on our fronts, that way we can keep fresh guys in there. But we got, having the edge and that intensity is so critical. I mean, if you're going to compete the way we want to compete and play the style of game, you know, we're not a tempo, throw it all over the place. I mean, we are a very physical football team. That's the way we're building this thing. And if we're going to play that way, we've got to keep that edge all the time.
How big was their depth that, you know, they were able to use two or three rushers very effectively,
especially
in that same third quarter that you've been talking about?
Yeah, that's what you worry about is, you know, that big offensive line. And then they got the two, top-notch running backs there. And then, when they put the running quarterback in, that's a whole different aspect there we got to counter with. And, they have very good skill players on offense across the board, those wideouts. It's tough. But we control a lot of that. You know, we can't let them, you know, the 4 and 5 yards a clip is just, you can't allow that, and that's what got us.
Coach, you're obviously playing to win, but this is one of the more competitive games with Temple since both teams started playing in the AAC. Where does that fit in terms of rebuilding this program?
I think it's the next step, you know. I told the kids in there, they're going to have a lot of people pat them on the back and tell them, you know, good game, you know, you're really coming along, all that stuff, but, you know, we're not in it for moral victories. We can take some positives out of this, yes. You know, people can look at the score from the last couple of years and look at our score tonight and say that the program's improving, and that's all fine and good. But, you know, you play the game to win, and that's what we're setting out to do. And, you know, we've got to do things better. We've got to do things better if we're going to win those ball games.
Through two games in the league and then heading into the bye week, is there one thing that kind of stands out now with competitiveness of this league, or what it takes to win, or anything like that?
Well, I knew what this league was when I got into it. I mean, this league is ranked ahead of several of the Power Five conferences as far as strength in a variety of the those polls and stuff out there. If you put any weight in those, all I know is it's big boy league, you know, and every single week's gonna be just like that. So we better strap it up and be ready to roll. And that's we knew that. I know that. This program's not going to be like this forever. We're going to get it turned. We've got good young players. We've got a great recruiting class that we believe in that, you know, hopefully we're going to sign in December. We're going to grow them up. We're going to develop them. We're going to learn how to play the game the right way. We've got a great fan base, and we're determined to give them a product on the field that they can stand behind.
How much did it hurt when you lost Chance Purvis there? That's when you started driving the ball.
Well, I mean, we had a couple of guys get dinged up. You know, and there's nothing serious. Chances available later on the ball game, but again, that's where we gotta. You can't depend on just any one person. That's what we gotta continue to try to develop the depth of our program. And you're gonna do that a little bit right now. You're gonna do that a lot through recruiting and development in the off season.
How do you feel about CJ Johnson's play tonight? And is he a potential big play guy that you can go deep on this offense?
I think he's improving every week, and I like his competitiveness. He has high expectations for himself. I like the fact that you can coach him hard and he responds to it. I mean, because he wants to win. I think he's going to be a really good player for some time, and he's getting better every week right now.
Coach, could have had a two-possession lead. Jake Verity was well in his range.
Yep.
What kind of impact do you feel like that had on the game?
That hurt. You know, the momentum hurt us. You know, that had been good. It had been a tighter game at the half. Took some wind out of our sails. So, Jake's pretty consistent. You know, he didn't do that very often, so we can't complain too much because he comes through most of the time.
What do you think when the lights went out? What were some of the options being talked about?
Well, you were hoping they were going to come back on. Certainly it was not it was not ideal. The other option was calling the game, and I didn't want to do that. You know, we had 3rd and 13. It was 3.5 minutes to play. So there's a lot of ball left to play right there. And I think for the way, you know, you'd like to, you know, we score the touchdown, we get the onside kick. You know, I had visions in my mind of getting another score in there and, you know, having a chance, maybe a onside kick and a Hail Mary. I mean, it's you play until it's triple zeros. So I'm glad they were able to get the lights back on. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Coach. In fact, we have two players, guys, that we'll go to. In fact, let's go first to Deontay Smith. Let's get his thoughts on the game. And let's do that right now.
Deontay Smith.
Your overall thoughts on this game?
I
feel like we executed at some things well. We obviously got some stuff we need to clean up. So I just feel like we got to come back and battle harder during our next game.
What was it like in that first quarter when you scored a touchdown? The crowd seemed to be into it. It was almost like the perfect start, the perfect recipe, I guess, for an upset for y'all in that first quarter.
It was a good start for us to get a scoring possession like that. But I know my coaches and everything preach not to get caught up in all that stuff, so I felt like we were just trying to keep our head down and keep going.
Did you kind of know just the way Temple plays that they would fight back? You know that it was in the end it was going to be a tough physical game, even though y'all had the lead early.
I mean, we go into every game thinking it's going to be a tough game just because of it's college football. You know what I mean? But we just gotta execute a little bit better, do a little bit more.
How good was it to see CJ have a big game tonight at receiver?
It was nice seeing CJ have a big game tonight. You know, he's stepping up a little bit more, becoming a more of a target for us. So, you know, I'm happy to see him doing well.
How'd you like having the black uniforms tonight on a Thursday night on ESPN?
Black uniforms were nice. It was a nice colorway and everything. I enjoyed it.
What was it like in the trenches in this game, especially compared to last year maybe? This was obviously a more competitive game against Temple compared to last year.
I don't know. I had to check the film out from this game, so I can't really tell you.
Was it pretty physical up front? Like, that's what they're known for, obviously.
I mean, I feel like they were the same as the D-lines. You know, the D-lines will come physical anyway. Offensive line, D-line, that's in the trenches, so, you know, it's got to come at it like that.
You guys obviously started well. Was there anything they changed after that? Was it more on you guys' end as far as execution after that, where they were stopping you guys?
It's accumulation of a lot of things. We just got to put together a whole game and get a W next time.
Thank you.
And we also had with us tonight there at the press conference, Alex Turner for the defense, D-line. The defense played very well, as we've been talking about. Let's get his thoughts on the game right now.
Alex Turner.
Alex, what were kind of your overall thoughts on this one? I know you guys battled hard, but just coming up a little bit short.
I think it was a close game overall. I just think we didn't execute as well as we should have in the third quarter. And we just let them off the hook, and we should execute it better. That's all there really is to it.
When y'all took the lead there, you know, the first possession, really, the crowd was into it. Is there any way to, like, keep that momentum the whole game? And, you know, it's just obviously, do you expect a Temple team to kind of bounce back during the game?
I think for momentum, it really comes from the team, the inside out. Mm-hmm. And I just think we had the energy. We were excited about it, and we were ready to go out there. I just think we didn't execute as good as we should have.
Was it a fatigue factor there in the third quarter or the second half?
No, sir, because we just came out from the halftime. I wouldn't say it was a fatigue factor. I should say our execution wasn't as good as it should have been. And then some plays should have made, but they didn't. And tackling was also a factor, but I wouldn't say fatigue was. I'd say when it comes to tempo, you do have to get set and get ready for the next play.
They had two different running backs and kind of a lot of guys to carry the ball. Does that make it difficult when they have two guys that can kind of rotate in like that?
I mean, you have to think at the end of the day, each running back is going to give an extra effort to get that extra yard. And just, guys, we have to get downhill and make sure we tackle and drive our feet on contact.
Do you think that you got down? I mean, you're only one score behind at the end of the third quarter, but it felt like the energy was gone. Is that something that you guys need to work on?
I don't think it's necessarily something we need to work on as energy-wise. I just think that the plays we should have made, we left out there. And I mean, Temple's a good football team, and we let them off the hook, though. We were close, and we just should have did things better. And all we can do now is look at the film and try to recover from it and get ready for the next opponent.
You have the bye week coming up. I know you guys, there's some guys banged up halfway through the season. What do you guys have to do when you have UCF coming up?
I think right now we just need to get the guys back, as many guys back healthy as 100% as we can, and then just, I mean, study the film. Watch the film from Temple, see what we did wrong so we can improve that so that doesn't happen again, and then just see how we can beat UCF and prepare for them.
Thanks,
man.
Well, guys, as always, I loved how Coach Houston was talking about there are no moral victories, and it was funny. I was getting ready to ask that question. I didn't because you already mentioned there are no moral victories, but I think that it's safe to say that, again, it's nice to see that he's not pleased, that he's not going to accept mediocrity and being average or being below average, and he's going to get these players, coach them up. I like how he took accountability. He said, we've got to do a better job coaching. And that was a freshman where before
We would have never heard that from the previous administration.
You damn right about that. No, he does, and there are some things they can do better coaching. I agree with him, actually. I think, again, on offense, my complaint sometimes is not being too predictable with play calling. So that's something they definitely can do better. And, you know, I'd have to look at the game film really to analyze the coaching mistakes I think they made. But it's good to see him take accountability because it does, man. It does start up top, and when you're taking accountability and the players see you taking accountability,
right,
not pointing fingers, it's going to make them be more accountable for their own actions.
Oh, there's no question about it, and that's a real leader, and that's what you have. He's going to do everything he can. It starts with him for Coach Mike Houston to be better. His coaches are going to do everything they can get to be better, and then you have the players. They're going to do everything they can be better, and they're going to, I mean, I just really like the, he talked about the recruiting classes coming in after, you know, next year and beyond. We're getting guys that we never had dreamed of before, maybe, or definitely back up to what we're used to, and then some four stars that we potentially have. So I think that when you look at this team, there's going to be, by the time this freshman class, I was thinking about this tonight, guys. This freshman class we have now, I think you'll see at least us competing for a championship, meaning that we're in the championship game with a chance to win it, at least that by the time they're upperclassmen. Don't you think the next 2 or 3 years that we'll see big strides in that direction?
Yeah, now it's hard to say if we're going to make a championship game.
I don't know. But you know what I mean, like where we have a shot.
Sure, we'll be at the top part of the, yeah, I believe in 3 to 4 years we'll be at the top of the conference, yes. I wouldn't be surprised, depending on how the rest of this year plays out, if we're a 7 or 8 win team next year. I'm not giving up on 6 wins this year. So, I think we can get there for sure. Hey, guys, I left. I left with 6 minutes to go. Shame to say it, but I did.
Shame on you, Kyle.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brendan's going to come after you. police.
You know
the
how I
police.
Feel about that.
Oh, you know what, Brendan? Shut up.
he had to go home and study for a test, Brendan.
No, my wife had to work just to work in the morning. But I left 6 minutes ago. So tell me about the true blackout. What happened?
Well, apparently what we learned, John Gilbert, thank you for mentioning that, Kyle. John Gilbert came before Mike Houston. Apparently those are brand new lights. And it seems like basically what he said, it was a programming issue. And it seems like, this is my guess, and I don't know this, so I always like to preface anything I say when I don't know. But my guess is based on that. I'm wondering if they had a certain time that the lights were going to go out, or, Brendan, you were there with me. What did you think?
Yeah, he said something about how it was a programming issue. So I'm not sure exactly what that meant. I don't know if that meant that they were supposed to go out at a certain time, like they were set to go out.
Right, that's what I thought.
It might have been the case, or if it's just a glitch in the system, but I think they'll figure it out. I mean, it's kind of interesting. Maybe they'll talk about it on ESPN or something, give us some publicity.
How long were they out?
About 15 minutes.
Yeah, about 15
minutes.
Wow. It was a long time.
I'm surprised they didn't call the game.
And Coach Houston talked about that, you know, that there were a few minutes, what was it, 3 minutes and 30-some seconds left in the game. When that 3:36 or somewhere, I think, just my memory, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Literally right after I left, yeah. Okay.
And so basically what happened is he said there was even talk of calling the game, and he didn't want that. And he obviously, as a coach, I can understand that, appreciate that. I had some games where other coaches wanted, we were down big, and I did not. I told my kids that in basketball, for example, coaching basketball, that we would never, ever quit. I don't care how far we're down. We're going to play it to the very end of the fourth quarter. We played 8-minute quarters in basketball, and I did not want to see me throw in the towel, that I was never going to do that. And so I understood with Coach Houston exactly how he felt, because there was no, I had some games. I had a situation one time, guys, where we had so many guys to foul out. I had to play in 3 or 4 minutes of the fourth quarter in a tournament in Maryland, a national tournament. I only had 3 guys on the court. It was 5 against 3. And I told those guys to fight as hard as they could. It was crazy, but you never think something like that's going to happen. But I told them that that's my philosophy, is you're never going to quit. I don't care if you're that particular case, 5 on 3. I didn't want to see my guys give up, or me give up for the team. So I appreciated that very much tonight when he was talking about that, because you could have just said, oh, well, it's only 3 minutes left, can we really do anything? But no, he said right down to the zeros, and I agree with him 100%.
Well, you know, he's trying to teach these guys to play hard all the time, and saying, well, let's just call it a ball game. Is it going to – it's going to be counterproductive to the message he's trying to –
right.
To get across.
And that's the Montgomery-esque kind of thing. Oh, just you can just play a couple plays, give up, you know, wearing earrings to practice, just do whatever you want to do. And that's what people don't understand, is that the same thing with the administration we have right now. They're having to clean up a huge mess in a different regard. He's having to clean up a mess that the program's been left in. And that's why I'm hoping Pirate Nation, and I'm talking to myself too, will be patient, continue to be patient with him. And I think they will. There's only the Captain Bills of the world that really don't get it, and that's fine. There's always going to be a fringe in every fan base. The state you called it? A lunatic fringe?
So, yeah.
Captain Bill and maybe a few others can have their own little cocktail party, but I don't think it's in the masses. And by the way, I want to mention before we forget, how about, this was one of my mental notes I took tonight, storyline, the blackout will always be rememberable, this game. The other one, how about the We Want Dan? How about that? I wanted to talk about that at the beginning for the Pirate Playback. What did you guys think about that? It was at least twice that the student section started it, and me and the others in the stadium were chanting, We Want Dan.
No, yeah. It was great. I liked it. Brady, you were in the student section. Were you part of the mob that got that going?
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. I don't know that we were the ones, the little group that I was in was specifically responsible for getting it going, but we definitely joined in and
was
a
few
planned? Banners down there, and it was great.
Was that planned? Did you guys know about that, or was that an impromptu thing? Maybe some people?
I figured that, you know, the student section would start the chant at some point, you know, and support it. And we're all in one place, nationally televised, and, you know, just it's a great place to rally for in support of him.
Yeah, and I was really, there was particularly one of them. They got going several times, but I think maybe when the kid, we did it one time when the one of the players, we had a player down, or Temple had a player down, I should say, and it seemed like the crowd beyond the student section really got into chanting it. During that time, so you know, yeah. I bet it confuses the hell out of the Temple players. I bet they were thinking it was like a Rudy situation. Like,
I was
who's
thinking
the
that.
Stand guy they want?
I thought that too. It's funny that you mentioned that, Kyle. I forgot all about that. I was thinking about that. It's like a player that never got a chance to play a game, just like you said, Rudy. And I thought about it. It's funny that you said that. I thought about it. It crossed my mind. The first time, I didn't think about it the second time, but the first time I did, about it's probably some guy that has a special situation, they want to get in the game, and maybe they were thinking that because they had no idea what We Want that means.
Yeah, no kidding.
Folks, if you missed that, it's on our social media. I got a 20-second video or so the first time that was chanted, and then so check that out. It's on our YouTube channel.
That's great. I'm excited about guys, I'm just so excited about our future. I know that we're disappointed. We're all competitors. All of us want to win. I mean, who wants to lose? But I definitely can say that we can be proud that when we go to sleep tonight, we wake up tomorrow, that we know that, yes, we wanted to win that game. But you have to say there's bright spots, and you're seeing some –
I think the between the two storylines, like I was talking about, the Mustang and the inexperience of the talented players we have, that stuff's going to be corrected both ways by getting more experience. How about Jaquan McMillan? I mean, you guys like him. C.J. Johnson on the opposite side of the ball had, it was running 100 yards and two touchdowns. I mean,
yeah,
and another
eight catches.
Yeah, I mean, he really played his heart out. And there's so many guys like that that you could mention, so I don't want to start dropping names because I'll forget a whole bunch. But
yeah,
those two come to mind for sure.
Before we move on from C.J. Johnson, I didn't get to add this about him earlier. One of the things that impressed me about him is just, I mean, obviously he's a very large receiver, and the way he made plays on the ball in the air and just took the ball away from the defender. That deep ball that got called back, I think it was, that was tremendous. And he made a couple of excellent ones after the catch.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing that's been missing to me, guys, with the receivers is the very fact of catching the ball. But it's the what really the damage does to the defense when you can catch the ball and that run after the catch. I think sometimes that's what's been missing for me the last few years. And how about Watley got another big catch? I mean, he's I love the tight end position, and that was something that was missing in the Mo era, as I've said a million times. It's nice to see that Coach Houston bringing that back.
Yeah, and you mentioned the yak yards. I tell you what, as you know, I know Donnie Kirkpatrick's not the receivers coach, but he is the OC, and Donnie Kirkpatrick, his receivers were known for blocking. And to be damn sure, by next year, those receivers will know how to hold blocks and stay on blocks like his old receivers used to. And that's when you're really going to see those yards after catch pick up.
Something else I wanted to point out on the receiver front, and you guys probably remember this play. It was a third down play, and Holton did a tremendous job of staying in the pocket and going through his progression, and Audio Matosho came open on a curl route, and Holton threw a decent ball. It may have been a little up and behind him, but it was definitely a catchable ball, and it went off Omotosho's hands.
Yeah.
That was over on my side of the ball. I think that was what it was at, about like the 40-yard line?
That was on our side of the field. It was right around midfield.
Maybe I was thinking about a different play. I know there was one that felt like he should have called, but he didn't. I was up in the first half when I was disappointed because I heard his name, and I've been – obviously, he has an interesting name. It's not like John Smith or something. He has – like you don't forget that name. And it was one – I think that's one thing, in fairness to Holton too, guys, is that there's some receivers – yes, Holton needs to progress, and he's going to work on that, but we also have to have some guys – also to do like C.J. Johnson, they're going to have to find a way to make a play. I mean, there's a lot of times when, well, you can speak to this because you're a quarterback, there's guys that are making, sometimes the receiver just has to make a play, right? Sometimes you can't always get the throw that you want for various reasons, and they've just got to jump up and catch the ball.
Yeah, that's one of, as a quarterback, you're frustrated sometimes when you don't make the perfect throw, but at the same time, from a receiver's perspective, if you expect them to make those plays, and you have to make those plays because it's not always going to be a perfect ball. And depending on the coverage and so forth, I mean, you can make a good throw without, I mean, you just have to make the best of the situation. So yeah, those are plays like we've seen made time and again through the years, and so I definitely think we'll see them made in the future, whether it's by guys that are currently there or guys that this staff's going to be bringing in. But
do you guys have anything before we go?
Yeah, a couple things.
I wanted to ask you guys how y'all like the black uniforms.
I liked them a lot. I thought that they I like them a lot. I think that it's one of those things where it's nice to see at least once a year. Just uniforms, and for a Thursday night game, ESPN, I was pleased with it, and I have to say Adidas is doing a nice job, I think, with our uniforms. They, not that I thought they were going to do a bad job, but it's a lot better than what I expected from Nike to Adidas, so I have to give them props, too.
I didn't like them. I would have. I don't remember what our black uniforms looked like last year. Did we do a blackout last year? I don't think
we did. The last,
no,
the last ones I recall was 2016 against Navy.
Yeah, I didn't like them either. I want to see us go back to the 2013-2014 look with more purple, and let's get East Carolina on there instead of ECU, Britton. I like the pants, but the jersey, I wanted more purple. I don't know how you felt, Bubba.
I agree. I saw them up close in the pregame, and I don't know. They may have been the ones we wore in 2015. I think I would still like them better just because, like you said, there was more purple. The numbers were purple.
Yeah.
They were not as good as 2013 and 14, but they had the white trim as opposed to gold trim. But the ones in 2015 I still like better because they had East Carolina on the jersey. And I did like the helmet tonight. I like the fact that the face mask is black, and I like the matte black look for something different instead of just always wearing chrome.
Yeah, no, I agree with pretty much your analysis on the uniform. Tomorrow night, guys, big game at Nippert. I guess it'll be tonight as we release this on Friday. Huge game of the American at Nippert Stadium. UCF has Cincinnati. So UCF could be coming off of a huge win or a huge loss, depending on how things go. But two best teams in the American, with the apologies to SMU and Memphis, two best teams in the East anyway. We'll be doing battle tomorrow night in the American, or tonight Friday. Put it on ESPN and watch Cincinnati play UCF.
Yep,
that's right.
UCF, I think, is ranked 18th. They're 4-1. Of course, they lost to Pitt, but then last year, this is a game that they handled Cincinnati pretty well down in Orlando, 38-13. So it's going to be interesting to see how Luke Fickell's ball club handles this one, because this is one I expect it to be a four-quarter ball game.
Yeah, I do too.
It'll be great to see. We'll see how that plays out, and it's going to be weird not to be talking to you guys on Saturday, but I guess that's TV dictates that, and like you said, Kyle, to the next two Saturdays we won't be doing our playback, so it'll be kind of weird, but it is what it is, and certainly looking
forward
to the second half.
At least on a college football playback, we may talk some other college football.
Okay, sounds good. All right, well, I tell you what, if you guys are ready, I'm going to put this podcast to bed. I know, Bubba, you have to get up early, earlier than I do, and I have to get up at 6 a.m. Kyle's got the day off, and Brennan, are you going to skip class?
No, I don't have a class until 1. So.
Oh, well, there you go, so... there you have it. You heard it here first. All right, guys. Disappointing to lose the game. Very proud of the Pirates overall. Second half of the season will be coming up in a couple weeks. And until the meantime, for Brennan Shapiro, Bubba Rosenbaum, Kyle from McGrain's Barber, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.